Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, host of the Mark Steiner Show. We continue now the second part of our special broadcast of a debate I moderated last night here at Morgan State University. It was sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Baltimore. You're about to hear the voices of Maryland Delegate Aoife Mitchell and Margaret Gallagher of the Maryland Marriage Alliance, who will be debating Maryland Ballot Question 6, the Marriage Equality Act. Again, each side had 10 minutes to state their argument, and then they responded to questions submitted by the audience and me. So let's jump right back into the debate. Question 6 establishes that Maryland's civil marriage laws allow gay and lesbian couples to obtain a civil marriage license, provided they are not otherwise prohibited from marrying, protects clergy from having to perform any particular marriage ceremony in violation of their religious beliefs, affirms that each religious faith has exclusive control over its own theological doctrine regarding who may marry within that faith, and provides that religious organizations and certain related entities are not required to provide goods, services, or benefits to an individual related to the celebration or promotion of marriages in violation of their religious beliefs. A yes is voting for this preferred law. Voting no is voting against this preferred law. Again, as with the other law, the other thing on the ballot, the other ballot measures, it was passed by the state legislature, but the Constitution allows that 3% of registered voters sign a petition. That bill can then go before the voters in the next closest election. Right now, Maryland law provides that only a marriage between a man and a woman is valid in Maryland. Maryland Constitution does not define a valid marriage. More than 300 Maryland laws provide for benefits conditioned on marital status. They include laws on taxation, business regulation, secure commercial transactions, education, estates and trusts, family law, decision-making regarding spousal health care, insurance, labor and employment, child care and child rearing, pensions, and the responsibilities attendant to spousal funeral arrangements. This law, by the way, passed allowing same-gender couples to marry, would not take effect until January 1st, 2013. Even if there wasn't a referendum, it wouldn't take place until January 1st, 2013. We are joined here today by Aoife Mitchell, who is a strategic advisor to the Marylanders for Marriage Equality and has actively supported the campaign since the bill became law. He was born into a tradition of public service. His great-grandmother, Lily Jackson, led the NAACP's fight against segregation in Baltimore. His grandfather, Clarence Mitchell Jr., was a civil rights trailblazer whose sense of social justice strongly influenced several presidents. Juanita Mitchell, his grandmother, was the first black female attorney in the state of Maryland. Parham Mitchell, his uncle, was the first African-American elected to the United States Congress from Maryland. Delegate Aoife Mitchell represents District 44 in Baltimore City and served on the Maryland Baltimore City Council for more than 10 years. Aoife is married to childhood friend Nicole Kramer and are the proud parents of two girls. Maggie Gallagher is the founder of the National Organization for Marriage, from which she recently stepped down. She's the author of 4 books on marriage, including most recently an Oxford University Press book with Professor John Corvino, Debating Same-Sex Marriage. She blogs at the National Review Online and CultureWarVictorFund.org. You know, we never did decide who was going to go first.
Fine.
And then at the end, you'll each get a chance to close out, and you will go last then, Aoife. Aoife Mitchell.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for hosting this forum with WEAA. And first, let me make one quick correction so my wife doesn't think I am married to someone else. I have a son and a daughter, not two girls.
Oh, Lord. I thought that, but it was on my sheet that way.
Make sure.
I apologize.
I do not get in trouble at home. I want to thank Morgan University, the historic Morgan University, for standing up and hosting this type of forum. Morgan has been in the forefront of a lot of social movements on this campus, and to hold this forum for this very important issue this evening is really heartening to see, and a lot of the students coming out. This is a very important period in our, we're at a crossroads in the history of our state and our country. And the question is whether or not we as a state are going to continue to treat all people in our state of Maryland, the citizens of Maryland, equally and fairly under the law. And that's what question 6 or ballot question 6 is all about. It's about treating all our citizens equally and fairly under the law. What question 6 does is simply allow gay couples to go to a courthouse to file to receive a civil marriage license. In the bill, there is all to, in order to be married. In the legislation that was passed, House Bill 438, there is extensive religious protections. So you as a clergy member, religious organization, or affiliate of a religious organization are not required to perform a marriage that you see is contrary to your religious beliefs. So there's marriage protection, there are religious protections inside in that bill. This was a long process for us to get here. The first year, it failed. It was re-referred back into committee. The following year, this year, in February, we were able to get the bill passed, and it was a very historic moment. And the reason we got the bill passed and the governor's signature was because of coalitions that were put together of unions, clergy, grassroots organizations all across the state. And we also had very courageous Republican colleagues in the General Assembly, Senator Alan Kilderman, Senator from Howard County, a Republican who voted in favor of the legislation. Delegate Wade Koch, a delegate, my colleague in the House from Baltimore County, a very conservative district, supported that legislation. And the reason they supported it was because of the conversations we had one-on-one and that the stories that they heard of families, loving relationships, coming together to speak to their representatives of why this legislation was very important. This is a close race. Momentum seems to be on our side due to polling. However, at the end of the day, it will be a very close vote, and we need all the support that we can get. We don't take anything for granted. However, the conversations that I'm very heartened to see are taking place that didn't take place when we were having this legislation debated upon. Since then, President Obama has come out in support of same-sex unions. The national organization, the NAACP, a historic civil rights organization, came out. The local branches of Baltimore City and Prince George's County, NAACP, have come out in support of it. This is a civil rights issue. I am proud of the family that I come from, of the pioneers that set the way in terms of civil rights. And one of the lessons that I learned from speaking with my Uncle Perrin and my grandparents and great-grandmother and others was that civil rights in an African-American community, we do not have a monopoly on. We have to continue to move forward. And we can't just get our rights and then kick the ladder away and say, we have ours, you fend for your own. It was about coalitions during that time. But make no mistake, this is not equated with the civil rights movement. That is one of the issues that sometimes gets muddled, and it is not equated with the civil rights movement. The other side, unfortunately, has a strategy of dividing and conquering the African-American community. And that's an old tactic that you can go back into the civil rights movement, of dividing African-Americans and forgetting about the larger issue at hand. I'm proud to be a co-sponsor of this legislation. I'm proud that Maryland will make history on November the 6th by passing this legislation. And I'm also proud of the momentum that we have moving forward. We are an organization and a coalition that believes in uniting all of the citizens here in Maryland, all of the people, to make sure that everyone in the state of Maryland are treated fairly and equally under the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Kiefer Mitchell. Maggie Gallagher, excuse me, Maggie.
Well, thank you. I'm really honored to be here at Morgan State, which, as Kiefer says, is an incredibly historic university for on the question of civil rights. I'm here today to urge you, and I live in Maryland, I vote in Maryland. I'm here today to urge you to join with your friends and neighbors and fellow citizens to vote no on question 6, precisely because I do not believe that gay marriage is a civil rights issue. Marriage has existed not just in the state of Maryland, but all over the globe for thousands of years, as a union of male and female for a simple reason. These are the only unions that can make new life and connect children in love to their mother and their father. Marital unions have that capacity. And it's the reason why, if you ask yourself, why is the government involved in the marriage business in the first place? Endorsing people's romantic and loving personal adult relationships is not something the government usually gets involved with in our tradition. The reason that this government and governments all over the world have historically recognized marriage is, in fact, clear. We didn't make this up because we don't like gay people and grab it out of a hat somewhere. Over and over again, the majority of courts now and across in our history have said the reason that marriage is the union of husband and wife for a reason. These unions are different from other kinds of personal relationships. And they are uniquely important to the common good, because we know that although, you know, I myself was an unwed mother for 10 years, we know there are many single mothers who struggle valiantly, lovingly, and well to raise children, and that all people working hard to raise children deserve respect. We know that when we lose marriage as a culture, when we lose the idea, it's important to bring together the mother and the father of the child in one family to raise children, that children suffer, that communities suffer, and that the jobs of parents become harder when we lose that roadmap, which is part of a roadmap for success. Only one element, but an important one. As I said, what happens if we let politicians or the courts, but in this case we don't have to worry about this, what happens if we let government step in and change this understanding of marriage? To say marriage is just... it's just about any two people who love each other. This whole business of moms and dads doesn't matter anymore. Well, the first thing to notice is that marriage equality does not lead to pluralism. It doesn't lead to live and let live. Instead, the government is endorsing a powerful new idea that, as Kiefer articulated, that this is a question of civil rights, that if you cling to the traditional understanding of marriage, we may not literally force your clergy to perform marriage, but what we found in other states is that you can be expected fairly rapidly to be treated the way government treats people who oppose equality, which is to say, on the question of race, I support it wholeheartedly. We stigmatize, we marginalize, we repress racists because racism is wrong. But in my view, this traditional understanding of marriage across different races, creeds, and colors is not evil, it's not discriminatory, it's good. We need to bring together male and female to make and raise the next generation. That's the heart of the classic understanding of marriage. And it's the heart that gay marriage will change. And it will change it not just for gay people, it will change it for every citizen in the state of Maryland to the extent that the government can influence every citizen in the state of, to the extent the government's view of marriage is powerful, which it is, frankly. So let's go to the heart of the claim being made. How can I say that our traditional understanding of marriage is good? It's not bad. It's not bigoted, and it's not discriminatory. How can I make the claim that gay, which I have done and will do here tonight, that gay marriage is not a civil right, it's a civil wrong? I could go to the words of the Maryland Supreme Court, which just a few years back specifically rejected the idea that defining marriage as one man and one woman represents unjust discrimination. It's not just the court here in Maryland, it is in fact the majority of courts in the United States that have looked at this question, have rejected the idea that there is a civil right to gay marriage. But secondly, I would say that, and the reason the courts have done so is largely because of the argument that I laid out very briefly here in my time. It's not unjust to treat, or discrimination, to treat different things differently. When a husband is a man who takes on a commitment to a woman and to any children that their union will produce, through their sexual union will produce. A husband is not any man who's made a commitment to another human being. There's something important and specific and different that weights and freights marital unions of husband and wife from other kinds. And that's why it's not unjust. But I would also, since we're here at Morgan State University, like to point out, none of us here know exactly what Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. would have said about gay marriage. Different members of the King family have gone in different directions on this, but I do know what Reverend King wrote in his famous letter from a Birmingham jail about how you tell a just law. A just law, he said, is a moral law, one that comports with the law of God. And an unjust law is one that rests on no such foundation. I'm going to vote yes on question 4 and no on question 6 on their merits, but also in part because my church, I'm Roman Catholic, is asking me to do those two things. Some people will tell you that it's wrong for churches to interfere, but only when it's about gay marriage. I've never heard anyone criticize the churches for coming out and urging people to vote for the DREAM Act. We all have a right. I think that the campaign ads in Maryland, which I say I have nothing to do with, but I think they get it pretty close to right. Each of us as an individual is entitled to love and to respect, but none of us have a right to redefine marriage. Thank you.
Kiefer, you have 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes.
Thank you, and I won't take up all of the 5 minutes. I respectfully disagree that this is not a civil rights issue. On our side is Julian Bond, John Lewis, who are on the forefront of the civil rights movement. I will take the cues from those leaders who have the battle scars and who have articulated very eloquently in op-ed pieces and speeches and interviews that this is a civil right issue. The other issue dealing with the family, and this is a family issue. I absolutely agree it's a family issue. However, every major study shows that when there is a committed two-parent household, children do thrive. It doesn't say a man and a woman. A parent household doesn't exclude gay or straight. Those studies across the board show that when those households have those types of relationships, that children do thrive. So this is a child welfare issue, if you want to argue that.
Mackie Gallagher.
I hate to argue the social science because it's usually really boring for the audience, but I did actually write a book called The Case for Marriage, which took a pretty extensive look at the social science evidence, not on gay parenting because it was published in the year 2000, but in the evidence for the relationship between marriage and child well-being. The truth is, what we can tell from this research, I would say that the science of gay parenting is in its infancy. There is hardly any studies, there's two that I know of, that use a random sample, right? That look at how, and none of them, there's not a single study that does this. It takes a random sample of children who are raised from birth by two couples, same-sex couples, follows them to adulthood, and compares how they do on a variety of outcome measures, as we have done with the other family structure debate. That work hasn't been done because stable same-sex couples are a very rare family form, and it's very expensive to study them using probability samples, and because it is a fairly novel family form. So there are studies that suggest there are potential problems with that family form, but most of them don't, because the people who are, and what I want to say about that is, if I were a lesbian mother and I knew there was a study on lesbian parenting and my children were having problems and I was in the middle of a big fight for my people's civil rights, would I volunteer to enter a study on gay parenting? No, I would not. So I wouldn't expect that other people would in that circumstances. But it isn't just any two committed couples. I mean, what we know is that children with remarried parents don't do any better than children raised by solo mothers. Okay, that's a kind of surprising finding because they got more money, they have more of a lot of things. The way, from the family structures that we have studied well, the way that marriage protects, and the other way marriage doesn't protect children is there's not a whole bunch of things that feel like a check you get when you're married that filter down and then your children are better off. You can actually lose your health insurance because you get married. There's not a uniform set of subsidies for married people. So if whether you're gay or straight, if you're thinking of entering into a marriage because you think you're going to get a subsidy from the government, think again, it's probably not there. But the way marriage protects children is to the extent it makes it more likely that a child is born to and raised by the mother and father who made them. And when a marriage culture frays, and, you know, we're in a big marriage crisis that has nothing to do with gay people, but it has everything to do with how committed we are as a society to the idea that we need to strengthen marriage not as a union of soulmates. That idea is doing fine. But as the foundation of a family where the man and the woman who make the baby stick around, they love each other and the baby too. That's the heart of the marriage idea that I think is the reason government is in the marriage business in the first place. And it's the thing that gay marriage really definitively ends for the state of Maryland. It says we no longer think that marriage is about this one great historic public mission it has had.
All right, some questions from the audience. Let's begin. And first question that came in is it true? First of all, these are 2-minute responses. And we'll start with Kiefer on this one and go to go to Maggie to respond. Is it true that if we call them civil unions and not marriages, there are many legal benefits the same-sex couples would not receive?
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
Is it true that if we call them civil unions and not marriages, there are many legal benefits that the same-sex couples will not receive?
In terms of civil unions and domestic partnership laws that we have locally and at the state level, you know, that was part of the debate in Annapolis that we have. Many of the colleagues stood up and said, you know, let's just call it civil unions. They call it civil unions. And one of the things that I struggled with is as a parent, you know, I don't aspire for my children to grow up and have a civil union or domestic partnership. I like to see them married. I like to see them in a committed relationship and married. Civil unions and domestic partnership has the effect, and going back to the theme of a civil rights issue, of separate but equal. And during that time period, a historic part of that time period, you know, they said, sure, you can sit in this park, but you just can't go in this park. You can drink from this water fountain, but you can't drink from that water fountain. You can eat in this restaurant, but you can't sit in this restaurant. And it was the effect of having an inferiority, a low self-esteem for many people during that period. And my feeling, and some of my other colleagues have said, that civil unions is not marriage. And it is does not equate to marriage. And as I said, you know, I'd like to be married. I don't want to be labeled as having a civil union or a domestic partnership. You have to explain what that is all the time.
Maggie.
The answer to the question about legal benefits is that you can give all of the state benefits of marriage through civil unions if the legislature chooses. And as long as DOMA is the law of the land, whether you call it a marriage or a civil union, your union will not be treated as a marriage at the federal level. Now, of course, there are court cases now about DOMA headed towards the Supreme Court, and we don't know the outcome of that. So to the actual question, can you give hospital visitation? Could you create a package of all exactly the same rights and give them through something called civil unions? The answer is yes. Because it is new, it might take a few years for it to be understood. You might have to go and educate hospitals about what a civil union is. But it is not necessary to redefine marriage to provide legal benefits to gay couples.
And I'll tell you, I am not stacking questions here on any one side. This is how they're coming in. That's being handed to me. Marriage has evolved over years. Government once said interracial marriage was wrong. Supreme Court ruled that was wrong. Discrimination was wrong 50 years ago. It's wrong today.
I think the difference between interracial marriage and same-sex marriage is that laws about interracial marriage were about keeping two races separate so that one race could continue to oppress the other, and that was wrong. But that marriage, our legal definition of marriage, is about bringing together the two great halves of humanity, male and female, so that children have a mom and a dad, and that purpose is good. People disagree with that, and I understand it, but I'm not saying you have the right to discriminate. I'm saying if you as a man want to enter a union with another man, you don't want a wife. You don't want to take on a wife, And that's perfectly understandable. And maybe we need to come up with some sort of benefit structures for you. But what you don't want to do is marry. You want to do something else, and then you want us all to agree that this is a marriage and use the civil law for that purpose.
Loving versus Virginia was that Supreme Court case, 1967, that banned that practice. I'm proud of my uncle, Clarence Mitchell III, who then as a state senator back in 1966 co-sponsored the state legislation to ban that practice. My wife and I, during that time, we would not be able to get married under the law. You also, if you look at the debate back then dealing with interracial marriage and all, there were references, it almost echoes what's happening here. There were references to the institution of marriage. There were references to biblical references, that it wasn't meant to be because of biblical references. But thankfully, we are a nation and a state that is governed by laws that are made at the legislative level. And so you can equate that, and I did during the debates, looking back at that history of interracial marriage.
You're listening to the second part of the debate I moderated last night on Maryland Ballot Question 6, the Marriage Equality Act, featuring Maryland State Delegate Kiefer Mitchell and Marky Gallagher of the Maryland Marriage Alliance. We're about to take a very brief break, come back in about a minute, and return to this debate on the Marriage Equality Act. We'll hear the audience's questions when we return. Stay with us. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. The Maryland Dream Act makes sure kids who graduated from a Maryland high school and whose parents have paid taxes for at least 3 years can pay in-state tuition. Ballot question 4 in November will determine if some of our young people can pursue their collegiate dreams. For more information, www.educatingmarylandkids.org. That's ballot question 4 on Election Day, November the 6th. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Let's jump right back into the debate. I moderated last night at Morgan State University, sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Baltimore. In case you missed the first part, we're discussing Maryland Ballot Question 6, the Marriage Equality Act, with Maryland State Delegate Kiefer Mitchell and Margaret Gallagher of the Maryland Marriage Alliance.
Interesting question here. The divorce rate is over 50%, so where's the stable marriage?
As I said, it's worse than that, actually. It's not quite. The divorce rate for first marriages is probably about 40%. We don't have good data anymore. I'm sorry to get back to the data stuff, but because the federal government no longer collects it, but that it seems to be where the divorce rate. So 60% of first marriages last for life. The divorce rate among second marriages is higher on average. And more than 40% of our children are born outside of wedlock. The question in my mind is that given we have a crisis around creating stable marriage, about persuading men and women to come together and raise their children together in one family, and about telling young people that you got to work pretty hard if you want to get this great good for your children. For this to be the time in which government steps in and says, we're going to change this understanding of marriage. We're going to say, you know, I'll be able to go around and say marriage really matters because children need a mom and a dad. I'll be legally allowed to do it. But the law here in Maryland will be immediately contradictory, and people are going to say, well, wait a minute, that's not the purpose of marriage in Maryland anymore because, you know, two men and two women are just as much married as anyone else. So I think that I was in a marriage debate that had nothing to do with gay marriage. I spent about 20 years of my life. It was precisely about our high rates of divorce and unmarried childbearing. And I was hopeful before the gay marriage debate hit that we would be in a position to be strengthening marriage so that more children are born to and raised by their married mom and dad. It's a hope I don't think we can afford to surrender.
Again, this issue is about treating everyone in our state fairly and equally under the law. I'm not going to comment on the divorce rate. I'm happily married for 12 years, and the secret to my marriage is that my wife is always right when we have an argument. So I will continue that practice. But again, we'll turn back that this is about families. These are about individuals and couples who are in committed relationships and loving relationships. And, you know, if it helps decrease the divorce rate, thank goodness. And let's continue decreasing that divorce rate. But, you know, going back to the point, this is, again, about treating everyone in the state of Maryland under the law equally and fairly.
Ms. Gallagher, can you describe exactly how my marrying my long-term same-sex partner would negatively impact your life or the institution of marriage?
Well, I don't think it's going to hurt me or my marriage because I'm old. I know there are people who disagree with it. I mean, they disagree about whether I'm old, but that wasn't the point. No, let me say it again because I did say it. It's not what you're going to do in private with your partner that is going to affect anything, any more than you getting a civil union and saying you're married would affect anything. It's what's going to happen when government changes the public understanding of marriage and rejects the idea that marriage is rooted in the need to bring together male and female to make and raise the next generation. I think gay marriage is a kind of... Now, there may be people who have already rejected this as a public understanding of marriage, in which case I don't see a good reason to oppose same-sex marriage. But in my view, the people of Maryland are going to be making a decision about whether to put that new understanding of marriage that's about any two people loving and it has no intrinsic relationship to make to the next generation. If we're going to put that in law and the government's going to endorse it, and if you disagree with the government, you're going to be treated and spoken of as a discriminator and as a bigot. Because it's going to, pull the analogy to interracial marriage through. You know, I happen to be in an interracial marriage too, by the way, but how does the government treat people who are opposed to interracial marriage? Well, we don't throw you in jail and we don't force ministers to marry interracial couples, but we do step in. Everything from professional licenses. Can you be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a psychologist, a marriage counselor if you don't believe in interracial marriage? The tax status of religious organizations, not churches, that oppose interracial marriage are threatened because you can't be a public charity if you're anti-equality, right? So if you look at the logic of calling this like interracial marriage down the road, it's pretty clear that it's going to change marriage for everyone in Maryland. And if you think that's a good change, you think it's good. But if you think that the traditional understanding of marriage is good and necessary and should be strengthened, gay marriage is going to make it extremely difficult to do that task.
In the state of Maryland and in most of the United States, in the United States, marriage is a state-condoned act, not a religious one. So why shouldn't the state allow gay marriages if it doesn't require religious institutions who oppose it to take part?
You know, that's an excellent point. I have House Bill 438, the legislation that was signed by Governor O'Malley. In here, it has a religious protections afforded to those institutions. Again, as I said in the beginning, what this bill does is allows gay couples to go to a courthouse to file for a civil marriage license and be lawfully wedded here in the state of marriage. It says nothing about clergy must marry gay couples contrary to their religious beliefs. It has nothing in here that says that institutions that are sponsored by religious organizations must hold wedding receptions for gay couples. The protections are in there. This is a civil, and the title of it is a Civil Marriage Protection Act.
Maggie Gallagher.
The reasons I've been laying out are the reasons for civil marriage, in my view. It's the reason the government is involved in the marriage business. It's certainly the reason the government expressed over hundreds of years repeatedly and courts affirmed repeatedly. It's the reason why we have an interest. I mean, we don't normally get involved in people's adult relationships. The way we demonstrate how sacred and important adult relationship is not to surround it with a bunch of government regulation, right? So where did this marriage thing come from? It came from the perception that the whole society has a really important interest in a particular kind of union. And there was a need to bring together men and women to make and raise the next generation together. And I think that's why we have civil marriage. I think literally that's why not only in this society but in virtually every known human society has this thing called marriage. There aren't that many human universals, right? And it's not always the same thing. A lot of weird stuff going on out there in, you know, tribal societies, et cetera. But again and again, you see that there is a sense the community has a stake in bringing together men and women into a public union that's a sexual union, it's not some other kind of union, in which the rights and responsibilities of the man and woman towards each other and towards any children of that union are publicly defined and supported, which means we are not just leaving it up to adolescents in the middle of their romantic, erotic, spiritual dramas to work out on their own what this whole thing, dimension of human experience, means. And if that's the heart of why government is involved in marriage, that's why civil marriage should be a union of husband and wife.
There are a lot of questions like this. Let me just read one of them. There's about three or four of them. If marriage is only for procreation, should married couples who are infertile for any reason choose not to have children be denied the right to marry?
So the way marriage protects children is that if it's only, you know, the vast majority of children who are conceived to a married couple will at least begin their life with a mom and dad committed to caring for them. Almost no children in any other kind of union will receive that good. Three quarters of all births today were unintended by at least one of their parents. I mean, it's kind of like a newsflash. Sex between men and women makes babies. and so I would argue that every union of husband and wife at least minimally serves the public purpose of marriage, because you're not going to be making, whether or not you have children yourself, and there's never been a time where every married couple in our history has had children, but it's still understood to be importantly related to procreation. Once you make that commitment, if you live up to your marriage vows, you are not going to be part of the problem of creating fatherless children, you know, across multiple households who are disadvantaged and who are suffering and who cause difficulties for the communities and who put unfair burdens on their mothers, frankly, of raising children alone, in my view. So I would say no, there's no, I mean, I can guarantee you that when I went around the country for 20, and I did this for 20 years, saying marriage really matters because children need a mom and a dad, nobody ever said, hey, wait a minute, infertile couples, that's not the purpose of marriage. When the government endorses gay marriage, it's going to eliminate that as a public purpose of marriage in any meaningful way, because the law will be saying in a very clear, visible new way, nope, sorry, I don't know what marriage is about, but it's not about that.
Kiefer.
Again, this law that we're voting on November 6th deals with treating individuals equally and fairly under the law. You know, I'm not going to get into debate about procreation and whether or not, you know, I'm a product of an unintended consequence. I'm going to leave here and go talk to my parents and have a heart-to-heart. The reality is that, you know, when there is a committed, loving relationship, children thrive. That's what I believe in. When there's a loving, committed relationship, children thrive. Whether they're gay or straight, as long as they're a loving, committed relationship, those children will thrive.
A lot of these questions are very similar, so let me look at some of these. One of these questions came up and said, it was interesting, kind of challenging some things, and I've yet to receive a question that is against gay marriage. The only reason I haven't read it. If you have some, please throw them in there so I can add them in here. This is interesting. Wrote in that marriage has not been solely between one man and one woman for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years. Really, it's only been since the Renaissance. And some countries have approved marriage between two women, and that this is really something that has come out of kind of the last several thousand years. And is our country evolving now, some people want to know, into a different place? Somebody asked this question. Let me find this one piece because it was interesting to add to that. Saying that you said that, I guess it's to Maggie, you didn't want to redefine marriage, but isn't it the same when they redefine man in the preamble to include women and blacks? And that are we not just evolving as a nation as so many other countries around the world have?
On the factual question, I think that there are three examples, because they're pointed to over and over again, of something that you might call same-gender marriage, none of which were gay marriages, actually. There's a tribe in Africa where a childless, unmarried woman who wanted to have children that belonged to her lineage did a marriage ceremony with another woman, and that woman went out and had sex with men, but the children were in her lineage, and that way, if she had enough money, she could pass it down in her own family, whereas if she married, it would all go to her husband's family. You know, you have to point to these tiny little exceptions to this great vast rule, which is societies have recognized there's something special about unions of husbands and wives. And I think that's something special. It's really intimately related to the idea that children need a mother and father. And the gay marriage expresses, as Kiefer has said, that we are no longer in favor of this idea. You know, not all change is progress, right? That's the debate we're having, and it'll be up to the people of Maryland, thankfully, in November, whether or not we want to embrace this new definition of marriage or whether we want to continue to keep and protect the classic understanding of marriage.
Kiefer.
I think we are evolving as a society and moving forward. 10 years ago, it would be unheard of having this type of conversation. Having the bill introduced in the legislature with so many co-sponsors last year was just really incredible, showing that, you know, we are evolving as a society and looking at marriage and committed couples. You look at some of the polling data, that it is a generational thing, that is a movement that is happening. When I talk to my children, my son's 10 and my daughter is 8, you know, when we were going through that debate and they were wondering why I was coming home so late and why I was staying down in Annapolis and we were having this debate, they were following it on the news and the newspaper. You know, my daughter at the time was, you know, 7.5 years old. She said, "Pop, what's the big deal? Who cares?" And you heard that from a child. And I went down and started thinking about all the debate that was going on and all the protesting that was going on and all the meetings we were having. And I started to wonder, you know, when they write the history of this issue 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you know, will my daughter or will my grandchildren say, what was the big deal on this issue? And so I do think we are evolving as a society and as a state. And again, it comes down to fairness and equality.
Another one came in. Explain how denying marriage to gay and lesbian couples will benefit their children when straight couples with children automatically have rights.
As I said, I don't actually think that same-sex marriage is going to end up being important. We don't know the effect of same-sex marriage on the children of same-sex partners. If it encourages them or discourages them from getting second parent adoptions to establish their parenting rights, it actually could hurt children, frankly, because an adoption is an act of the court, which will be recognized in all 50 states and in any country that you go into. You don't get rights over your stepchildren automatically, right? They stem from the fact that marriage is a sexual union where you promise to only have this union with each other and not with anyone else. And so the law assumes that any children of the wife are also the child of the husband, right? It makes sense. It's part of that logic. And I'm not sure how the courts are going to end up working that out with lesbian couples. I don't know if a lesbian is going to be able to impose parenting obligations on her partner without her partner's consent. I think it's actually complicated. We know that, as I said, that children of remarried parents do not do better than children of solo mothers. So the idea that the legal package of marriage is what protects children is an idea I don't believe in. And I would think that second parent legal adoption is more critical to protecting the children of gay couples.
You know, we had the hearings in Annapolis on this issue, and what was really heartening was to see the children of same-sex couples come forward and testify how they are thriving, and you see it in terms of the relationship they have with their parents. I think of my friends Lisa and Gita, who helped bring the case in Maryland, who have a beautiful daughter and who is thriving. I think of my neighbors where I live here in the city that have children in their same-sex couples that play with my children. And so I see that, you know, again, it goes back to if there's a loving, committed relationship, these children will thrive. And it was evidence when they came before the Judiciary Committee to testify in support of this legislation.
The opposition to gay marriage in America is primarily religious, not a secular argument. I think that, and so how does that fit into where we are taking this discussion about marriage?
I think that it's true now that if you go into the public square and you only say this, marriage is the union of husband and wife because we need children to have a mother and father, you will face a pretty strong, and I'm not complaining. I'm a public figure. I volunteered for this. This is not a complaint, but this goes to your question of why do you only see, or this is not literally true, but it's mostly religious people who are willing to stand up and object. I don't think it's because the idea that children need a mom and a dad is a religious idea that nobody else can possibly grasp. I think there are people who are not deeply religious who do, in fact, respond to this argument. And, you know, there's polling data to that effect. I just think that religious people have a stronger motivation to stand up against the criticism that gets directed your way, and they have a community that supports them in that. And those are two things that lead people, just as the gay community. When gay people were alone and afraid, they weren't effective. When they gather into communities and create institutions, you started to see a lot more social change. So the same thing is, I really think that's the reason why the opposition is so religious. But I would go back to the point I opened with. My church, the Roman Catholic Church here in Maryland, asked me to do two things in the parish bulletin last Sunday at 8 o'clock Mass, which is the last Mass in Montgomery County I managed to make it to. And it said, vote for the DREAM Act on question 4 and vote against gay marriage on question 6. And nobody's criticizing the Catholic Church for saying vote yes on the DREAM Act. Well, I'd say I don't perceive it. It's usually when a religious community wants to stand up for something that's perceived as a conservative or a traditional value that suddenly the separation of church and state becomes an absolute wall and people are not allowed to have religious motivations. This would be foreign to the civil rights movement that Morgan State participated in. It is foreign to the thinking of Reverend Martin Luther King that you are not allowed to be motivated by the law of God in considering questions of justice. And we're a religious country. We're an unusually religious country. So it's not surprising to me that so much of the people willing to stand up are doing so out of a faith tradition.
You know, the conversations I had during this debate with religious leaders who were on the other side, you know, we had very deep, meaningful discussions. And one of the things that I was proud of was that during this whole debate, it was very much civil. I wasn't threatened. My colleagues I didn't hear were threatened. They were going to be excommunicated out of the church or anything like that. But it is a very emotional issue on both sides. And, you know, there are those members of my family who are deeply, deeply religious that don't agree with me on this issue. And they're very personal friends of mine who don't agree with me on this issue because of the religious nature of this debate. But again, as I have said, and as we go forth, you know, it is okay, you know, to have your religious beliefs, but again, when we have this debate, let's just continue to be civil on that.
So let's close with this. The last question came up, and I'll add a little bit to it. The discussion's been reduced to the purpose of marriage to raise children, but aren't there many other benefits, mainly government-imposed, for being married? And I would add to the question of marriage, isn't part of a marriage, no matter who gets married, as a commitment, as you're making a spiritual or legal commitment to another human being, whether you raise children or not. So consider this our closing thoughts. Maggie, then Kiefer.
Yeah, this isn't what marriage is, more than a creation of government. So when I say this is the reason for the purpose for government to be involved in marriage, that doesn't mean it's the whole of what marriage is. And I think civil marriage without the support of religious communities and families, and you know, it doesn't end up mattering very much. The way the idea that there's a bunch of government benefits attached to marriage, I think misunderstands the way the law treats you. When you're married, it treats you as a unit. And it does so whether this advantages you or disadvantages you financially. So you can get some benefits from Social Security, but you can also be impoverished and not qualify for nursing home care because of your spouse has got too much money, right? I mean, it's really more complicated than that. the benefits of marriage, I wrote a book on the benefits of marriage for adults as well as for children called The Case for Marriage. And it does, in fact. People who are married, men who are married to women, because that's what we know. We don't know, there's no social science literature on same-sex marriage at this point. They do better in a wide variety of ways. They live longer, they're healthier, they're happier, they're better off financially. But it's not because of what the government does or hands them. It's the result of the benefits to men and women of entering into this kind of permanent, lifelong, committed union. I suspect gay couples who enter committed unions get some of those benefits, but I also suspect they won't achieve all of them. That would be a whole nother debate. It's a mistake to think that civil marriage is what creates and sustains these benefits. The one thing I'm glad about is that at least thanks to the Maryland Marriage Alliance, the people of Maryland are going to have the final say on this. Because a civil definition of marriage that is not supported, that doesn't reflect what people really feel in their hearts about what marriage is in the end not going to matter very much. Thank you.
Just in terms of the benefits that are afforded, under Maryland law for domestic partnership, domestic partnership type relationships, under Maryland law there are about a dozen state benefits that are afforded under that law. For married couples, it's over 400 types of benefits for married couples. So there is a very big difference dealing with that. Finally, and I guess, Mark, this is the closing piece. Finally, let me just first again thank you, Mark, for this forum and the League of Women Voters and the historic Morgan University for holding this very important forum for the election coming up on November 6th. And as I said in the beginning, we were at a crossroads in the history of our state and in our country. And again, are we going to treat our citizens equally and fairly under the law? Question six is that chance for us to make history, to turn the tide that all of the other states have done in terms of shooting down same-sex marriage. I am confident that because of the debate, because of the organization on our side, that we will be successful, and that during this period, my children, 10 to 15 years, my daughter or my son will be able to marry who they want and who they choose, whether they are gay or straight. Thank you very much, and go out and vote November 6th.
That was the end of our two-hour-long special broadcast of last night's debate on Maryland ballot questions 4 and 6, DREAM Act and the Marriage Equality Act, respectively, sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Baltimore. If you missed any part of tonight's show, listen or download the podcast online at steinershow.org. If you have comments about tonight's show, please email us at steinershow@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page, the Mark Steiner Show Intelligent Talk Radio page. Your comments are really important to us. We want your feedback, and they'll be part of our ongoing discussions on the Mark Steiner Show about the DREAM Act and the Marriage Equality Act. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Justin Levy. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Stephanie Mavronis, and Mark Gunnery. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews and Clean Cuts. For WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538.